John chapter number 6, I think you're there by now. And we are speaking today about the considering his priority. John chapter number 6, consider his priority. And again, as I mentioned, this is a series that we've been doing in the college and career class, Consider Christ, and then each lesson a certain topic about Christ. And today, consider his priority. We're going to look in this passage at a very familiar miracle. In fact, it's a miracle that you will find in all of the Gospels. Does anybody know what the miracle is? It's in all four Gospels. As far as I know, it's the only one in all four Gospels. Feeding of the 5,000 plus, right, Brother McShane? Plus, whoever knows how many more. Correct. That's the correct answer. So we're looking at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. We're going to look primarily at this miracle in John's account, in John chapter number 6. And just to give you a little bit of background here, this miracle occurs just before Passover. And so that would mean it would be in the springtime. And we could envision this mountainous area here, where the people have gathered in the city of Galilee, that it would have been more than likely green with grass, and a beautiful scene there would have been that day. The Sea of Galilee, again, just some information. A freshwater sea, 9 miles wide, 14 miles long. I mean, you get the setting, right? A beautiful setting. Springtime, grassy hill, Sea of Galilee. And Jesus would use this area as a resting place. You know, that's one thing I think that we all need to recognize, that at times we need rest, physical rest. And we see that the Lord Jesus, while he was God, he was also man, the God-man, co-equal, coexistent. And we see many times within his ministry that he was hungry, thirsty, weary, and he sought rest. He sought rest for his physical body. And that's where he would have done this as well. And that's what was really happening right now. That's what they were seeking, to find a place to rest here in John chapter number 6. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Verse 3, John 6. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Okay, so really the idea of this going up into the mountain, as I said a few moments ago, because the ministry was already moving, miracles happening, people following, and it was time for a break. It was time for a bit of a rest. And that's what they were attempting to do here. And verse 5. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. Now, I don't know if it would have happened this way or not, but I can almost, just to use my imagination a little bit here, I kind of imagine that the disciples were watching Jesus, and they were watching him as he even saw the multitude. If I'm there and I'm kind of watching the Lord Jesus, and I see that he now makes eye contact with the multitude, I'll tell you what I'm beginning to think. Oh no. So much for rest. Remember, the disciples were the ones that on occasions said, Lord, send them away. You know? And I can almost just kind of imagine it. It's not in there, so I'm not trying to add to the Bible, but just kind of imagine that that's kind of maybe what the thought process was of the disciples, that, oh, no, he just made eye contact with those that have a great need, this multitude. So we're going to look at several things by way of an outline today, and we have that up there. Okay, good. Number one, we're going to see, number one, the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ. You know, I'm praying that God would help me to see people the way Jesus sees people. The Bible says here that when he saw the multitude. And there can be times in your life and times in my life where we might see people and we think one thing that is not what when Jesus sees people, what he thinks. We could see people sometimes as problems. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I see problems. You can smile. We're in church. It's okay to laugh. You know, sometimes I'm the problem. But we see Jesus when he saw people. We don't see Scripture telling us that it was a problem to him. His passion was helping people. Number one, the passion of Christ. When Jesus saw people through the eyes of compassion and he made meeting their needs his passion. Letter A, the passion of Christ, to care for the people. To care for the people. Who was it that was beginning a ministry? Who was it that had been spending much time in ministry? Jesus had. I mean, again, he got weak. He had to be recharged. He laid aside some of those attributes of the Godhead, if you will, and limited himself in some of the things that he could do and be a part of while he was walking as that ministry time. And so we see that he would get weak. Turn over quickly to Matthew chapter 14. There won't be time to turn to all of these, but turn to as many of them as you can. I want to try to complete the lesson because, as far as I know, this is a one-timer for me. For now, anyway, to care for the people, the passion of Christ, to care for the people. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with what? Compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. In other words, we could see that Jesus was always thinking of others. How many of us, and don't raise your hand, that we would struggle with that, putting others first? You know the word joy? J-O-Y, have you ever heard this one? Jesus, others, and you. Some of you have because I heard you say it before me. Good job. Well, really, that's life. That should be the Christian life. Jesus, others, and then yourself. And if we would follow that admonition, do you know what we'll have? Joy. If I get ahead of Jesus, Y-J-O, you can't even come up with a word there. That's not going to work too well. Y-J-O, that's not a word. That's about what you'll have. If I get ahead of Jesus, it'll be a mess. If I put me ahead of Jesus. By the way, if I put others ahead of Jesus, O-J-Y, that's not a word either. No, Jesus takes first place in our life. At least he ought to. But we follow his example, and that he would put others first, to care for the people. Everyone here would admit, if you were honest, that it's difficult. We have a difficult struggle from time to time, and that is with selfishness. Selfishness. Why do you think Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself? I think one reason he may have said it that way is because he knows how much we love ourselves. But he says, don't love your neighbor less than yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, treat that neighbor with care. Make that our passion. So the passion of Christ, number one, letter A, to care for the people. Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 12, I'll read this verse. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Boy, think about that. The Lord hath been mindful of us. Of us to bless us, the psalmist said. He will bless us, excuse me. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron to care for the people. One thing we can count on, and we'll talk about it in the 4 o'clock hour, one thing that we can count on with the Lord Jesus Christ of many things is his unending love that he has for you. His love never runs dry. Never. There's no way that you and I could live in a certain way that would eliminate his love. And again, I don't want to start into the 4 o'clock message, so we'll keep moving. Letter A, to care for the people. Letter B, his passion was to train his disciples. To train his disciples. Approximately how long did Jesus' earthly ministry last? 3 years. Yeah, maybe a little more. Three and a half, but not a very long time. Obviously, Jesus knows this. And so an objective of his time wasn't just the miracles, and it wasn't just all that he did for the people, but it was to train those disciples so that when he was gone back to his Father, they would then be able to carry those instructions that he gave with them. And praise the Lord, we have those same instructions passed on to us thousands of years later. In other words, these men, these disciples, they needed to be equipped so they could further the gospel message. Well, you know what? That's something that we need to be praying about, that God would enable us to teach others also. It's a command in the Word of God that we teach others also, that we pass along what God has given to us. And I wrote this note down on the side of my Sunday school book there. It is always important to take the time to teach and to train. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. We're talking about the disciples, okay? And that's in the serving the Lord and in the biblical realm. But in many other ways, too, and they're all practical, but I think about in a home, it's important to take time to teach and train. If you have children in the home, or if you're a company and you're the man that does the training or the lady that does the training, ask God to give you a spirit of patience, because nobody does it exactly like you do, right? Nobody does it exactly like you do. But you see, if it's only you doing it, eventually you are going to be gone. And if you don't pass on what somebody passed on to you, then it's going to end with you. I don't want it to end with me. I want what God has given me. I want to pass it on. I want to invest the whatever life I have left, I want to invest it. Jesus trained his disciples in two ways. Quickly, let me give you these. He trained his disciples in two ways. Number one, and by the way, this isn't just for information about Jesus. We need to be doing this as well. Number one, he trained by example. By example. The disciples, I'm sure, were tired on this day. I'm sure that they were exhausted. But they learned the importance of something. Would you go quickly with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 6. By example. So they're exhausted. They're tired. What would Jesus show them was important? How would he train them that was important when you're tired? Well, I'm just going to go take a nap. Okay, well, that's helpful. Look what he teaches them in Mark 6:31. Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Rest. Setting the example of the rest that we need. Setting the example of the time of prayer that we need. Boy, prayer is a spiritual recharger. It's work, but it recharges the soul. It recharges the spirit. He also led, number two, by examination. Not only by example, but by examination. Jesus took time to ask questions. Ask questions. You think that question in verse 5 of our text, if you go back to John 6, you remember the question that he asked Philip? What did he ask Philip? Right. Were we going to buy the bread? Now, again, this is Jesus asking a question. So we can already say this with confidence. He already knew the answer. You know, did Jesus not already know there was a lad amongst them with a lunch? Of course he did. Because he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. The question was not asked for Jesus' benefit because he didn't know. The question was asked for Philip's benefit. The question was asked for those around him who might have been listening in. Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? The question was meant to help Philip or those that were listening. And verse 6 gives us the answer there. And this he said to prove him, to test him by examination. Would he pass the test? Would he pass the exam? Because the Bible says that Jesus himself, he himself knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. We read in John 2, 24 and 25, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. The word prove there in verse 6 is to test, as we said just a moment ago, to test. I wonder if you would look at your life today and you would see possibly right now you're being proven. You're being tested. In the time of testing, keep your eyes on the one who loves you, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the time of testing, keep your eyes in the Word of God, where you find your anchor, where you find peace. It's amazing where people are looking today and trying to find peace, only to find emptiness and only to find more worry and more stress. I am so glad that as a child of God, I can have perfect peace in his word. Examination. He led them by examination. God allowed them to go through this time of testing. I might think today that my faith is just fine. You know what? The best way to see where our faith is when God decides to prove me. Then we'll see where our faith is at. Maybe our income is taken away. Do we believe that our daily bread will be provided? I don't wish that on anyone, of course, myself included. But if we say God is going to provide, I have faith to believe that God is going to provide. Again, where does our faith lie? Philip answered him in verse 7. Again, quite the question. Philip, where are we going to get enough bread? Philip, 5,000 people, and that's what Philip says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. I mean, they can't even have a little piece of bread like in the Lord's Supper, Jesus. And we don't have that kind of money. Philip noted that amongst the disciples, they had the equivalent of about 8 months' wages for one man. This would have been plenty for the disciples, but it would have not even been close enough to give enough for each person there that needed something that day. What was Philip doing? Philip was looking at his resources. And what happened? He got discouraged. You know what? That's the same thing that's going to happen when I look at my resources and I look at what needs to be done. We don't need to look at our resources. We need to look at God's resources. We need to look at our Heavenly Father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. We need to look at our Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us and will not let the righteous to be forsaken or a seed begging bread. We need to look at our Heavenly Father who has the world in the palm of his hand. Span of his hand. Think about that. That's a big hand. No, but if I look at what Ben Turner has to offer, oh my. That's why we can all be discouraged when we think, oh, about what is needed in our homes or what is needed in our country or what is needed in our local church. We don't look at ourselves. No, we look at him. We look at the Lord because he has everything. And I'm not speaking just in the sense of monetary needs, but it's an emotional need or a spiritual need or whatever it may be. No, Philip looked at Philip. He should have looked at Jesus and said, well, Jesus, you can do it. Now, I'm not going to pick on Philip too much because, you know what, maybe that would be the way my mind would have been rolling around too. Well, I've got about $5 in my pocket, Lord. If I can run down to Walmart real quick and I can get some of those dollar deals or something, but that's only going to feed me, Peter, James, and John. What's everybody else going to eat? We look at it humanly speaking. That's not how God works. God works on a completely different wavelength. His ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts. That's a blessing, by the way. So, quickly, the passion of Christ. Let's look at number two, the plan of Christ. The plan of Christ. Jesus had a specific plan, and in Jesus' plan, it involved a miracle. Letter A miraculous plan. Go back to John 6, I don't know where I've had you turn it all over the place, but let's go back to our text. As the Lord Jesus Christ considered the needs of the people, he chose to use human involvement. By the way, he still uses human involvement. You know, praise God, 32,000 flyers were delivered in 3 days. There were no angels delivering them. I didn't see any angels coming down out of heaven lining up to deliver flyers. You know what he used? Human involvement. Weak? Yes. Needy? Yes. But see, that's why God gets all the glory now. We don't. When we see God do something and through us, we ought not take any credit for anything, because it's God who enabled us to do anything, even to offer a cup of cold water in his name. God gave me the water. He created the water. He chooses to use human involvement. But he didn't just choose anyone. He chose someone in the crowd. The Bible says was a lad. Look at verses 8 and 9. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? We don't know why God chose this lad. We don't know why all of it took place. We don't have that information. But what we do know is this, and you've heard it said before, the lad gave what he had. He did not give more than he had, nor did he give less than he had. He gave what he had. I'm reminded of a widow woman in the Bible who had 2 mites. She as well gave what she had. She couldn't give what those businessmen or whoever it was there, she couldn't give what they could give, but she could give what she had. The lad gave what he had. Verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, you remember when Philip said, now, Lord, you got 200 pennies. They can only have, what did he say? Remember the word? A little, I believe is the word. That every one of them may have a little. So Jesus gets a lunch, which would have been less than what 200 penny worth would have bought, by the way. But he gets what he had been given. He blesses it, he breaks it, and he says to them they could have as much as they would. Not just a little, but as much as they would. You see, that's the difference between looking at my resources and looking at God's resources. God's resources are unlimited. We know our resources are limited. But it's not about what I have or don't have, because he has it all, and he's looking for someone that he can, like a lad, like here we see here today. All throughout the Bible, God took human resources and did something mighty. For time's sake, we can't turn to all these passages. But we see in the book of Exodus chapter 4, that God used a simple rod in the hand of Moses. It wasn't a sword, it was a rod. It was a stick. Exodus 4, 1 to 5. We see that, we won't turn there. God would use that rod in the hand of Moses to miraculously part the waters of the Red Sea. Moses had to yield what he had to God. Moses, what's in your hand? You remember that confrontation? What's in your hand? Oh, just a rod. Throw it down. Throws it down and it becomes a snake. Tell you what, if I'm Moses, I'm nowhere near that rod, snake, whatever it was, ever again. So Israel would still be in Egypt. Pick it up. God used, it was something insignificant, but here's the key word. Yieldedness. The little boy's lunch was, I mean, come on, what's a lunch? Even if it was two king salmon, what's a lunch? Five loaves, two fishes for 5,000 men plus women and children? 15,000 people could have been? What's one lunch? It's not the lunch, it's the yieldedness that is the key. What's one stick? Nothing. But yielded over to God, it's a mighty army. It's a mighty weapon. What's one life? If it's yielded to God, it's a powerful weapon in the hand of Almighty God. Yieldedness. How about in the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter number 17? 1 Samuel chapter number 17, we won't turn there, but David, five smooth stones and a slingshot. A miracle takes place, and Goliath loses his head in the matter. So it's a miraculous plan. Letter B, it's a masterful plan. It's a masterful plan. Look at verse number 10. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. God sets things in order. In Mark chapter 6, the same account says, "And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties." 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 14, verse 40, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So gets everyone seated properly. Again, think of the crowd of people. Again, at the very least, 5,000, but surely there were more than that there that day. And getting them in ranks of 50 and in groups of 50, and now an amazing event is going to take place. We're going to feed all of these people. Look at verses 11 and 12. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples were to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. I love the beginning of verse 12. When they were, filled. When they were filled, the first Baptist buffet in the Bible right here. When they were filled. Well, that's it. I can't have any more. No more. You know. When they were filled. Not a little. Again, I don't know what God wants to teach us from this mighty, famous miracle, but I don't know, right? Even while I'm talking about it, God just keeps telling me right now that it's not about the little. It's about you can be full. As much as you need, God says, is what I have to offer you. The distributing of the bread gives the church a wonderful picture of our purpose and mission today. This illustration is given within the notes. We are the recipients of the bread of life. Therefore, we are to take the message of Jesus Christ and distribute it. We're to distribute it to the lost. Just as Jesus divided the crowds of thousands, we should be dividing our cities and this world into various sections, each of us reaching all those sections with the gospel of Christ. That's the beautiful picture of Acts 1:8. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost, sections. I can't go to the uttermost today, but praise the Lord, some of our missions money can be sent to families and single men and single ladies who are in the uttermost today, taking the gospel, taking what they have been given and delivering it, delivering the bread of life to a lost world. So we saw, number one, the passion of Christ. We saw, number two, the plan of Christ. And lastly, number three, well, you know what? Quickly, let's look at verse 12. when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments. The fragments, the leftovers. How many of you like to eat leftovers? I love to eat leftovers. Again, I don't know, maybe somewhere else in the Bible there was, I guess maybe there might have been manna that was left over. Actually, no, you weren't supposed to have any leftovers of manna, or it would turn into worms or something. So this was a good time for leftovers. Collect those leftovers, he says, that nothing be lost. And again, we can insert whatever we want to try to insert in here to where this food went. The Bible doesn't tell us. There was enough leftovers for all the disciples the next day. Maybe that's where it went. Maybe it went with the young boy. We don't know. Passion of Christ, the plan of Christ. Number three, the priority of Jesus. We now come to the day after the feeding of the thousands. A miracle has been performed. Another one. He had walked on water, and he has now gone back to the other side of Galilee. Look down further into the chapter, verse 25, as we come to a close. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? We're going to read the next few verses, and they will show us how Jesus saw their intentions and told them of their priority. Letter A, we see man's priority. Man's priority. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Do you see that? Again, Jesus is omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. He can look right through those disciples and what they were thinking. 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Hey, you ate those fish and that bread, you know what's going to happen the next day? You're going to need more fish and more bread. Brother Kim, we had those delicious noodles yesterday. Some kind of a Korean noodle. You're Korean here, you know what I'm talking about. Fabulous noodle. But you know what? When I got up this morning, although those were good noodles, but you know what? I was hungry again. We got to find something else every day. So Jesus says here in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. There's something that's going to last forever. We can only take with us to heaven the souls. We don't take them with us, but those whom we influenced and we were able to give the gospel to that came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, nothing else is going with us. Everything else is going to stay behind. Verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Which he was speaking of who? Himself. This is the work of God. Trust me. This is the work of God. Have faith in me and what I'm here to do. Jesus knew the men were not following him to worship or honor God. They had their own agenda. Maybe it was personal security. Maybe it was personal comfort. They knew that Jesus had this amazing power. One thing they were tired of, Roman oppression for sure. We can just get out from underneath this Roman oppression. Maybe this is going to be our military leader. Well, that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to be a military leader. They wanted that kingdom set up. They wanted to be free of their problems. Not only did they want political help, but they wanted provisional help. In other words, Jesus could take care of their physical needs. Turn to Mark 6 quickly. We're almost done. Mark 6, and let's see another part of this account. Man's priority, letter A, Mark 6, 52. Mark 6, 52. Says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, For their heart was what? Hardened. They had been an eyewitness of this. Think about it. They had just witnessed this massive sea of people eat until they were full from one lunch. What more did they need to see? Don't be so critical of them, by the way. We have a more sure word of prophecy. What more do we need to see? We have Genesis to Revelation. That should be enough for us to completely have faith in our loving Heavenly Father. Tom Brady, some of you know the name, Tom Brady, quarterback for the New England Patriots. He had won 3 Super Bowls by the time he was 28 years old. You don't know anything about football? If you get 1 Super Bowl, that's a miracle. He had 3 by 28. Many would look at him and think that he's accomplished so much at an early age. Here's an interesting 60 Minutes interview. This was 14 years ago, by the way, 2005. Quote, "Sometimes I wonder, why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I think, God, it's got to be more than this. I mean, this isn't, this is all in quotes, by the way, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be," end quote. The interviewer then asked, "What's the answer?" Brady replied, quote, "I wish I knew, I wish I knew," end quote. Obviously, he doesn't know the Lord, as far as I know. That was 14 years ago. Maybe he does now. I guess I shouldn't have said it quite like that. But that's not an answer from someone who knows the Lord. Because we know when we see the Word of God, and we know as children of God, that that hole that's in our heart is filled by the Lord, and it's filled by His Word. And it's not about what He can do for me. It's not about the miracles that He can do for me. It's who He is in my life. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Shepherd, the Lord is our Shepherd. We shall not want. Takes care of everything. Letter B, quickly, we see Christ's priority. Christ's priority. Christ's priority, first of all, is for men to be saved. For men to be saved. Luke 19:10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Christ's priority is not simply for you and for me to believe in God. Well, I believe in God. Well, so do the demons. Say, what do you mean? James chapter 2, verse 19. "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So, I believe in God isn't quite going far enough. Ben, why should I let you into heaven? God, I believe in you. Well, according to the Bible, the devils believe in God. I don't think they're going to be in heaven. In fact, I know they're not going to be there. So it's not simply that. Christ's priority is for sinners not just to believe, but to completely and wholeheartedly trust in Him and Him alone as their personal Savior. Do you have that assurance? It's 3:50 on Sunday, June 23rd, 2019. If you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would be in heaven? Say, if not, I say if not, then you've come to a place that believes that there's a Bible way to heaven. It's not a Baptist way to heaven. It's not any denominational way to heaven. It's a Bible way to heaven. And that is Jesus' priority, that all men through Him might believe and be saved. Not only that, God's priority for everyone who is saved, secondly, is to be secure. You're in John, if you're still in John 6, John 6, our text, verses 34 and 35, then said they unto Him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst." When we trust Christ as our Savior, we never have to wonder again if our sins have been forgiven. It's been settled once and for all. A point of reference for you to write down to look at, John 10, 27 to 30. Despite our Lord's teachings, many could not get over the miracles enough to get to His message. John 6, verse 60. "Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?' verse 66. Think about that. Right in the middle of this miracle. From that time, many of his disciples went back, look at this, and walked no more with him. That's it. Done. The perfect teacher. The perfect Savior. How could they turn their back on him? If we come like maybe them, for simply a religious gathering, but never allow the words of Christ to convict our hearts, we will not truly be born again. This isn't about a religion. This is about a relationship. Consider Christ's priority. Heavenly Father.